It is very good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or so. Don't forget, by the way, you can watch us live on Twitter, Facebook. You can watch us live on our website, nileboylan.com, and also on YouTube as well. Yesterday, by the way, we had a record number of live views. Thank you to everybody for tuning in. But we would ask you, of course, if you're watching it live, you're not paying for it, there's no advertising. So please do support us by going to our website. You can go to our website, nileboylan.com, and there you can either subscribe and get all of the previous 270, whatever it is, episodes, including interviews, by the way, that are exclusive on the website that we've never actually streamed. There are lots of great interviews there with Nigel Farage and who has Patrick Moore, the founder of Greenpeace in relation to climate change. Loads of different stuff that you may not have seen. They're all there on the website. One of the most interesting ones actually is a woman who is a trans widow. Her husband turned out to be transgender and told her halfway through their marriage. Anyway, it's a really interesting interview. There's some great stuff. You can watch all of that live by just subscribing on the website. The price of a cup of coffee between three of us working on the show. It's not much to ask. So please do support the show because we support you to give you an opportunity to have your voice uncensored every single day between 12 and 1 o'clock. Now, I wanted to go to crime on the streets. And the reason I want to talk about it is that Senator Sharon Keoghan has suggested maybe it's time to legalise pepper spray. Now, as you know, it's illegal in Ireland to carry pepper spray under the Firearms Act. It's classed as a firearm. But here's the thing. Do we really need it? Because you would be forgiven if you were looking at social media on a regular basis, thinking there's a purge out there. Because, of course, social media has brought crime right to our screens. But let's look at the statistics. The number of female rape victims in Ireland is almost three times higher than the EU country average. New research by Noteworthy and the European Data Journalism Network found out. Staggering statistics reveal how in 2022 alone, the average number of women reporting rape in Ireland stood at 34 per 100,000 of female population, significantly higher than the average of almost 12 per 100,000 across the six countries with data available. Now, you have to take into consideration, of course, some of those countries have an extremely low rate, which brings the average down. From 2012 to 2022, there's been an average of 25 female rape victims per 100,000 in Ireland. That's the sixth highest in the EU. And the latest CSO figures show that 6 in 10 victims, 60% of assaults in 2023 were male, and just over two-thirds, 68% of victims of harassment and related offences were female. Now, there is an argument that the world is not as dangerous as people may think it is, but we have just become more of aware of it because crimes basically are on our screens every single day. We see videos, we have citizen journalists on every single corner, so every time somebody's attacked or there's a fight in the middle of town, somebody gets it on their screen or on their camera, and you get to see it on Twitter or whatever it happens to be. Also, women in particular are more likely to report assaults or crimes than they would have, say, 20 years ago. Men were always slower to report crimes, and that doesn't seem to have changed very much. But there is no doubt that high-profile crimes like the Ashley and Murphy crimes will instill a massive amount of fear and paranoia in women, and rightly so to some degree. But throughout history, there have been many other cases of random murder of women, sadly. And if we go right back, of course, to Malcolm MacArthur in 1982, the murder of Bridie Gargan. Very similar. It was a random attack in the middle of the Phoenix Park where the life of Bridie Gargan was taken. It was equally random and horrific. So that really hasn't changed that much. We don't see, thankfully, that many random murders in this country. Now, as I said, Senator Sharon Keoghan said on Twitter that maybe it's time that we relook at the laws around carrying pepper spray, which, as I said, is illegal in Ireland. So, two questions. Should pepper spray be legal for people to carry, men and women, by the way, alike if they want to? And do you feel safe on the streets? Do you think it's a myth that the streets have become more dangerous? Or do you genuinely believe they become more dangerous? Are you paranoid going out? Would you go for a walk in the middle of Dublin City, for example, and not be fearful? Let me know what you think. The number, as usual, 085-122-55. That's 085-122-55. Let me go to columnist with the Irish Independent, Ian O'Doherty. Ian, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Matt. How are you?
Good. Ian, I mean, I read out, look, if you go right back, as I said, to 1982, we had a random murder of Bridie Gargan in the middle of Phoenix Park, a horrific murder, very similar to, you know, the story of Aisling Murphy. Of course, Aisling Murphy put everybody on edge, particularly women feeling paranoid. She was just going for a walk, as they said. But has the world really become more dangerous, or are we just more aware of it?
I think it's a case of a little from column A and a little from column B. I think people do feel that the world is more dangerous, and I think for many people it is. And it's interesting, when you mentioned the Bridie Gargan case, a friend of my father, his wife was actually attacked in the Phoenix Park while she was walking her dog around the same time as the Bridie Gargan case. And I remember that the Phoenix Park became seen as a real no-go area
yeah.
for women at the time, and that's something that's been forgotten about. Now, was that a case of sort of mass hysteria, or was it a case that people were becoming more aware of the fact that at the time the Phoenix Park was more dangerous? I do think Senator Keoghan's suggestion, I think it makes sense. I think people should be allowed to carry pepper spray. And what I always find interesting about cases like this is, give me the arguments against it. You know, because when you ask for the arguments against it, sometimes, against anything, sometimes you can actually be presented with a point that you might not have necessarily thought yourself. You go, okay, yeah, fair enough, that's a good point. This is the reason why we shouldn't let people carry pepper spray. I have never seen an argument.
Look, there's an argument against carrying a knife, obviously, that the perpetrator will take it off you and use it against you. You know, I mean, I suppose there is an argument against using pepper spray. That's probably the only argument, that the perpetrator might take it off you and use it against you. And that's the only argument against it. Or, because really, you can't kill anybody with pepper spray. I mean, you'll do a lot of temporary damage to them, but you can't kill anybody with it. So it is a good defense method. But I mean, taking it off you and using it against you is the only argument against it. And that's always been the argument against having any weapon on you, really, isn't it?
Well, this is, I mean, you can use that argument against any defensive measure that anybody's got to take, you know. But the one thing, I was only reading the other day, actually, it was a case in Denmark from a few years ago, which I wrote about at the time. There was a young woman walking down the street in Copenhagen, and she was attacked, and there was an attempted rape, and she pepper sprayed the assailant. And pepper spray was illegal in Denmark, and she was charged with assault. And now, if I recall, I think there was absolute uproar.
As you would imagine, yeah.
And she got away with a 50 euro fine or something like that.
But was he charged, by the way? Was he charged with attempted rape?
No, as far as I recall, no.
Here's an argument, too, because I remember many, many years ago, I was working in Club M as a DJ. And I'm playing my music as usual. Place was packed, even Saturday night, 1,400 people in the place, right? And the dance floor was full in front of me. And all of a sudden, I see people putting their hands up to their eyes, right? And everybody was putting their hands up to their eyes. And then suddenly I felt this burning on my eyes, right? And what it was a girl had been carrying a can of mace gas, which, by the way, I assume is very similar to pepper spray, mace gas. I'm assuming it's the same thing. Anyway, so she had dropped it on the floor and somebody stood on it with a high heel. And it all started to expel on the dance floor. It evacuated the dance floor. Thankfully, we had a really good air conditioning system in the building, so it cleared it out very quickly. But it did affect a lot of people, right? Because she had dropped it on the floor and somebody stood on it. Now, maybe that's a weak argument, but I'm just saying there is those kind of instances where, you know, it can be used wrongly, or it maybe expels wrongly or something like that. I don't know. So, I mean, it is dangerous in that respect. Now, and I don't know how, or if it can do any permanent damage. I don't think pepper spray can do permanent damage.
No, it doesn't. But I mean, the thing is, you can make the argument then, you might as well ban people going out with cans of deodorant in their bag. You know, deodorant can have the same short-term effect. But to briefly go back to the Danish case, what the girl and what her lawyer said in the aftermath was that she said she'd rather be charged than raped. And that's really the bottom line.
Yeah.
And people are right to be more aware of their surroundings now than perhaps they feel that they would have been a few years ago. Now, that's not to say that you need to become paranoid and that you have to stay indoors all the time. You know, we do have, you know, we live in a very sort of what's known as a safetyist culture, where people are almost more afraid of things and they're more timorous than they used to be. But I know, I mean, I've spent most of my working life in the inner city and various different newspaper offices and stuff like that. And Dublin has become a far more dangerous place than it was 10 years ago, for men and for women.
But we've an increased population as well. We've twice as many people now than we would have had 30 years ago. So we certainly have an increased population. So let me widen the argument. Should you be allowed to carry a taser? I mean, how far do you, people always say this, you know, the sky's going to fall in once you change the law. So how far do you take the law when it comes to carrying personal protection? You know what I mean?
Well, I think a taser is seen as more of an offensive weapon, whereas pepper spray is seen as more of a defensive one. You know, and also you can allow certain things while also admitting that, look, you know, we're drawing the line at this. You know, you're not allowed to carry a gun around. And I'd put a taser more into the category sort of of a firearm than I would with pepper spray. But I mean, as I said, you can look at pepper spray as a very, very strong kind of deodorant. You know, and I know women who have cans of deodorant in their bag and they'd be quite happy to use them.
Yeah. And DPs, I believe, is the most common thing that they use to replace pepper spray.
Oh, God, do you remember playing football as a kid? The DPs, if you'd run your hands and your eyes out during a match, you'd be blind. Blind for 5 minutes.
Well, you can buy little cans, a small little tiny mobile or whatever travel cans of DPs, and I believe they're very popular with women for that reason.
Yeah, but the thing is, people have the right and indeed the responsibility to defend themselves. That doesn't mean that they have the right to go out and start spraying anybody who looks at them in the wrong way. And this is where the authorities, again, let us down, because we're, by and large, we're a sensible, rational people. But the authorities don't think we are. And they think that they have to make up rules and dictate every part of our behaviour. If I had a daughter and she was going out, I would want her to carry some sort of pepper spray with her. Mm. Not because I would want her to use it. I would hope that she would never, ever have to use it. But it's just there as a defensive measure. And like that Danish girl said, she would rather be charged than be raped. That doesn't mean that every man out there is a potential rapist. And if I had a son, I'd say it doesn't mean that every bloke out there is going to want to kick your head in. But the reality is, some of them do.
Yeah, but when I look at the figures, and I remember talking to somebody about the CSO figures a while ago in relation to, say, rape or sexual assault, particularly when we talk about females. I mean, yes, the figures are up. There is no doubt about that. But we've an increased population. We also have, obviously, more people report crime now than ever before, particularly females. Men are less likely to report assaults, etc., etc. But women are more likely, since particularly the Me Too movement, are more likely to report a crime of assault, be it a sexual assault or whatever it happens to be. Whereas they were less likely to 20 years ago. Women were raped and sexually assaulted 20 years ago and never went near a police station. They just took it on the chin, so to speak, which is despicable when you think about it. And then we've got social media. So every time a crime happens in the city, no matter how small it is, some lad gets his head kicked in O'Connell Street, there's a video of it online because somebody beside them has a phone and takes a video of it. So it almost looks like the purge is happening out there, where it's not really, is it? It's probably no worse per head of population than it was 20 or 30 years ago. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, the thing about it is, when you start talking about statistics, nobody wants to be a statistic because that means something bad has happened to you. Mm. And I know that when I'd be walking up and down places like Talbot Street or whatever, you know, places that were always rough, you know, there were always dodgy parts of Dublin, always. And it's absurd to pretend that there weren't. But the parts that were dodgy back then are now bandit country, even during the day. And I don't think, particularly in the case of the certain areas in Dublin that I'm referring to, it's because of benzos and drugs and stuff. And it's not because of necessarily an increase in population. It's just because, you know, you see people, and you're talking about the purge, but, you know, there's parts of Dublin that's more like the Walking Dead.
I mean, I'm going to agree with you. When I was campaigning for the election that time, I'll be honest with you, in most places, nearly everywhere, I felt very reasonably safe. I didn't feel like someone was going to run up behind me and box me across the back of the head. The only place, I'm going to be honest, that I felt really dodgy and I didn't like it at all was Thomas Street, which was quite bizarre.
Yeah.
That's my mother is actually from Thomas Street. But that's
And the thing is, Thomas Street was always, you know, it was always a kind of a rough enough part of town, but it was grand. Whereas now it's actually, it's just...
This
isn't about, you know, a rise in immigration or the population explosion or anything like that. It's to do with benzos, it's to do with tablets, it's to do with opiates, and it's worse now than it was, say, even during the heroin scourge back in the 80s and stuff like that. The thing is, what I would say in terms of Dublin being a safe place, I mean, Helen McEntee, who's, you know, just an absolute disgrace.
Disaster, yes, it's probably a good
word. And she should go. I mean, she's worse than useless. But after your man, the American tourist, Steve Termini, he was battered to within an inch of his life by a gang of teenagers in Talbot Street. And so McEntee then did a photo call where she walked down Talbot Street, you know, surrounded by four or five large Gardaí, and she said that she felt safe walking down Talbot Street. Well, if you have a bunch of bodyguards around you, you probably would. Yeah. But I wouldn't feel comfortable walking down Talbot Street at night. And I'm a bloke and I can kind of look after myself.
Yeah.
Right? And that's just the simple reality.
Before we finish that, in relation to crime in general, Where do you think, you know, immigration is taking us with crime? Because people will have us believe that, you know, the more and more people that come in from different cultures around the world or different religions or whatever it is, or different extremist views, that it puts us in a lot more danger. Do you really believe that? Or do you think, you know, okay, we can point to, you know, random stabbings that we've seen. One only yesterday, by the way, in Manchester again. A woman, 40, is dead and two people are critically injured. Then we had the three kids in the school last week. Again, you know, these could be all classes, cultural, or people would say that they're cultural and random attacks. Do you think we're going to see a lot more of that, or is that a bit of a myth?
Well, you see, it's such a loaded area, you know, because nobody wants to be coming, no rational person wants to come out and say that, you know, oh, immigrants are intrinsically more criminally minded than the indigenous population. But what we are definitely seeing across the West, not just in Ireland, not just Britain, but across the West, is a massive clash of cultures, of things that are perceived to be acceptable by certain immigrants, and they're not perceived to be acceptable by the host nations. And I do think that, like, I mean, in Sweden a few years ago, where they had a bunch of Afghan immigrants, and they had to teach them that rape was a bad thing.
Yeah.
And you're kind of going, look, if you have to teach people that rape is a bad thing, do we really want them in the country?
Yeah, well, there was that case that was online of the guy who had sex with a 14-year-old girl in the UK, and when he was arrested, he said he didn't know it was illegal.
He didn't know it was illegal. But the thing about it is that you need to look at those cases, I think, really in isolation, because, like, immigration is the biggest hot-button issue at the moment. And there's a lot of really, really serious questions that need to be asked. And there's a lot of really, really tough answers that
is there a link between crime and immigration? Because the government will have us believe that there isn't. And they also don't keep figures in relation to it for the exact reason.
This is the really interesting point. When the likes of McEntee come out and says that there's no proof that immigrants commit crime on a disproportionate basis to the indigenous population. Well, yeah, that's because you deliberately don't keep stats.
Yeah.
And in Germany, there's a big debate at the moment because the more conservative and traditional parties, they want to start bringing in ethnicity-based statistics on crime.
Mm.
And the liberals in Germany are saying no, because that's going to stigmatise immigrants.
But here's the thing. I remember going back years ago, Tony Blair came out with this line, and he said, if you were black living in London, you were five times more likely to end up in jail, right? Or something. It was along, don't quote me exactly, it was something along those lines. This is going back about 10, 15 years ago, whenever Tony Blair was around. But he was castigated for saying that. And he came out then afterwards and said, look, the only reason I said it was, he said, because A, it was a fact, a statistical fact. And secondly, he said, I want to help people. He said, we need to look at why that's happening, understand why that's happening in London, why people from the black community were ending up in jail quicker and getting longer sentences, you know, before in the courts for maybe the same crimes. So he wanted to understand it and maybe help. So there's nothing wrong with, you know, I don't believe keeping those kind of statistics and then trying to understand, well, why is it people from a certain nationality commit a certain type of crime, and how can we address that or educate people?
But the thing is, you know, for a lot of these liberals, the truth hurts, and if flies in the face of they look in the world the way they would like it to be rather than looking in the world the way it is. And if you look at it in England now at the moment, they have a knife crime epidemic, and that's predominantly carried out by the black community, by young black men. So if you're a young black man in London, and not just London anymore, the spread of the county lines and things like that has brought it out into other cities. If you're a young black man in London, you know, there's a good chance that you're going to be stabbed by another young black man. And any time people try to raise this, they're then accused of being racist. Yet there's a movement in England now to increase the number of stop and searches by cops, by the mothers of young black men who have been killed by another young black man. They don't care about pussyfooting around the race issue. They just want to make sure that their kids get to come home at night without being stabbed by somebody with a zombie knife.
Yeah.
So this thing of, you know, politics, whether it's liberal political agendas or conservative political agendas, they shouldn't come into the issue of crime and kids not being killed, right? And if people find the bare statistics and find the bald facts, if they find those offensive or problematic, as they like to say, or stigmatizing, well, then tough, because if it means that one kid gets to come home without being knifed by another 15-year-old with a zombie knife, well, I'm sure most people can live with that.
I think they're offering £10 now to hand in your zombie knife in the UK.
No, it's just ludicrous.
Oh, yeah, Pat. But look, Ian, it's been lovely talking to you, Ennis, and thank you very much indeed. Overall, I believe that you think it's a good idea to maybe legalise or look at legalising pepper spray. Thank you very
much. Absolutely, yeah. And again, as I said, better to be charged than to be raped.
Good line. Thank you very much indeed. Ian O'Doherty, columnist with the Irish Independent. Appreciate you coming on and talking to us today. Let me go to Dave. Dave, hi, how are you? Dave, it's a good line, isn't it? You know, better to be charged than raped, I suppose.
Yeah, no, that is very, very true, to be fair.
But is it a rocky road? And are we paranoid? I mean, there's the question that I'm kind of asking everybody. It's a kind of two-tier question. I think most people would probably say it's not such a bad idea. So what's the big deal to carry with pepper spray? But do we really need to be carrying it? I mean, is it really a lot more dangerous than it used to be?
I mean, I don't know. Like, what do the statistics say? I mean, because, like, most people, unfortunately, nowadays get the news from Facebook or Twitter, which are, let's be honest, they're not exactly, sources of reliable, truthful information these days.
Well, the statistics are not good. We're the sixth highest in the EU when it comes to attacks on women. But in saying that, you have to look at statistics properly, because if you go back 20 years ago, women didn't report crime as much as they do now. Men were never great at reporting crime anyway, right? And that hasn't changed. But women do report crimes.
But it's kind of like, who are the perpetrators of these crimes, though? You know what I mean? Because it's like, you know, like the white van man. You know these stupid things go on Facebook. Oh, be careful. There's a fella driving around in a van and, you know, apparently kids are being abducted all over the place and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Where statistically speaking, your child is much more likely to be abused by a member of their own family than they are some guy from another country. Do you know?
So, in a white van, yeah.
Like, you know, yeah, do you know what I mean? And like, there's this whole, because like, there is a fear campaign by people who are, and I'm not talking about people with legitimate concerns about immigration. I'm talking about people who have an agenda. You know what I mean? The people,
absolutely.
Like the actual genuine racist out there.
Yeah, because
when
150,000 people come to the country from another country, within that 150,000, statistically, there's bound to be criminals. You know what I mean?
Of course. Yeah. Look, it's not rocket science. If you have more people, you're going to have more crime. I mean, that just makes sense. But what I mean is, like, we'll take Dundrum, for example, right? There's a guy I know. He's an intelligent guy. He turned around to me one day. He goes, geez, as soon as they get in, all these immigrants, they're going to be kidnapping children, and they're going to be cutting their heads off, and they're going to be burying them on the golf course. And I'm looking, I'm going, are you fucking serious? You know, but this is the unfortunate thing. It's like human beings en masse. You get enough of us together, you whip a bit of fear into us, and all reasonable debate goes out the window. But in regards to like stuff like pepper spray and stuff like that, even before all this immigration stuff, I fully believe that if you are like an elderly person even, or someone living on their own, particularly in rural Ireland, I didn't think it was a bad idea for you to be able to have some way of defending your home, because we have down through the years seen some horrible attacks on people living. Like, there was a guy in Tipperary got his eye socket shattered by a group, a gang of lads broke into his house and held himself and his family, at gunpoint. You know, they tried to rob his business. There are stories of people who have been attacked.
But here's the thing. Is there more of those stories than there ever was before? Or is it a case that if you go back 25 years ago, we had the Evening Press and the Evening Herald or the Echo in Cork or whatever, right? So you only had your baseline newspapers. They had 30 pages.
I know, now...
Only the most important stories ended up in the paper. Now you hear every story. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, come here. But I know, but even before before social media became so ubiquitous, we also had... You know, the Americans created the 24-hour news cycle to keep people paralyzed with fear. So, no, I do get that. I do. And, like, I mean, if we really take a step back and look at it, we probably are living in one of the safest times in human history. Genuinely, if you take an objective look at it, considering, like, you know, we've no world wars, the threat of nuclear war isn't, you know, as prevalent as it might have been back during the Cold War. People are living longer. We are living safer. You know, now there are still... I mean, like, Dublin's a shithole. Like, if you ask me, like, is there somewhere where you feel safe? I would say Dublin City. And I remember years ago...
And most of that crime is happening in Dublin, by the way, can I point out? And just in relation to immigration or foreign nationals, as people use the term, there is a disproportionate amount of foreign nationals in jail. 21% of the prison population are foreign nationals, whereas only 12 to 13% of the population, the general population, are foreign nationals. Now, I could argue the same thing when it comes to members of the travelling community as well. There's a disproportionate amount of people. So you could argue that it's to do with poverty and the way people are dealt with before the courts.
What we genuinely do need to do, and it's not a racism thing, is we do need to start taking statistics on
ethnicity.
What crimes are being perpetrated by... Yeah, for, and like, it's not just like black people, travellers, brown people.
I don't think it should come into the colour of paper, or it should be about the colour of somebody's skin. I think we should keep statistics on where the origins of where somebody's from and their culture. Because I think it's important that we understand why crimes are committed. Well, do me a favour, stay there for a second, because I want to go to Maureen. Maureen, hi, how are you?
Hi now, how are you?
Yeah, Dave thinks no harm, pepper spray, it's not a big deal, but at least it'll make people feel safe. But do people really feel unsafe, or are they just paranoid? Sorry, Morris and Tara, I'll be with you in a second. Do you think people are paranoid, Maureen?
No, I don't know. I don't think they're paranoid at all. They have every right to be concerned, and especially us women have every right to be concerned for our welfare and our safety, the safety of our family. Mm. And put it like this now, anyone who comes at me, I don't care who you are, you're going down. Any which way I can take you down. You attempt to enter my home, you're going down. You attempt to interfere with my family, my grown-up children, my grandchildren, you're going down. I don't care. Because first and foremost, we have a duty to protect ourselves. Our life comes first.
And I wouldn't blame you wanting to do that. But here's the thing. Do you think, you know, when you walk to the shops or you're sitting in your home at night or whatever it is, do you think you're more in danger now than you were 25 years ago?
I do.
Is that only because you're looking at Facebook and Twitter every day and you're seeing horrible crimes?
No, it's not. What I'm seeing when I'm about in my own town, Niall, it's not.
But has anything actually happened to you, Maureen, versus 20 years ago? Have you been walking down the street and somebody attacked you, robbed you, took your handbag?
No.
Whatever, I don't know.
No, it hasn't happened to me, Niall. But there was a time in here, because I'm in rural, I'm in West Cork, as you know. You could go out your front door here, excuse me, at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, sometimes you wouldn't be able to sleep. You might go for a nice walk around the town. You wouldn't meet a soul. Had no fear of walking. I could walk down to Tidani Beach, which is 3 miles down the road in the darkness. I would have had no fear. Walk on the sand dune. Do you think I'd do it now? Not a hope.
Why not?
It was only over the weekend, and I'm waiting to have it confirmed. We have a lovely walk place here. It's just by Castle Freak. You can go through the woods. There's a lovely walk through the woods. There's a place called Rathbarry. I'm waiting for it to be confirmed. There was a girl attacked or assaulted in the woods in Rathbarry, so I'm not too sure. I'm waiting for the person to come back to me and give me some more information on it.
That's horrible. You know what I mean?
I know it's horrible, but
statistics, we have to look at the statistics. And yes, according to statistics, more assaults on women are being reported. There's no doubt about that.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, but in saying that, women, I mean, everybody talks about Aisling Murphy, right? How horrific, because that was a kind of crime that woke everybody up and said, oh my God, she was only out for a jog. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Hello? Sorry. Oh, I think that was Gladys there. She didn't hear us. So Aisling Murphy. But I could mention, if you go back to 1982, Malcolm MacArthur did exactly the same thing. He walked into the Phoenix Park and he bludgeoned Bridie Gargan to death with a hammer. Do you know what I mean? So, I mean, those kind of crimes have happened throughout time. It's not like there's an Aisling Murphy or Bridie Gargan crime happening every day. Oh, sorry, I've lost
you. We're seeing it on our city streets today. They're running amok there with knives and machetes. We're seeing it here. We're seeing it in the UK. And especially in London, the Met Police cannot cope or control any of it. And now they want to give them money to hand up their weapons.
Yeah, but
I mean, this is fucking
And I couldn't agree with you more. And I've noticed, obviously, everybody's noticed the increase in knife crime and stabbings. But I can tell you now, if you have pepper spray and somebody comes at you with a machete, it's not going to make any difference.
Well, at least I'll have it, and at least I'll say I gave it a go, like he wasn't coming at me without me defending myself.
Okay, but stay there for a second. Let me go to Morris as well. Morris, hi, how are you?
Niall, how are you doing?
Morris, before I come to Tara, I mean, I've been listening to what Enid already says. You know, there is some level of paranoia in relation to social media, and people have fear within them that something is going to happen to them. But generally speaking, nothing really will happen to you. You'll be unlucky if you're a victim of crime, statistically. So does that mean we should, you know, change the laws and allow people to carry pepper spray?
I think you can never be so protective of your own security. And I mean to say, you know, me as an ex-army man, I didn't feel safe in Dublin one day with my wife and my son, and I got out of town. So can imagine how double the fear a woman would have. To be honest with you, you know, pepper spray, like you said, you just gave a bad example there of a woman, like, you know, if I'm going to rape you with this machete, or if you don't give me what I want, and she pepper sprays, you know? Why couldn't she have a taser? Why wouldn't women be allowed to carry tasers?
But tasers are considered, you know, to be an offensive weapon rather than a defensive weapon.
Well, could you not? Listen, this country was overrun with electric skewers. Don't tell me there's somebody out there that couldn't make a taser. That should give a woman enough time to zap a fella, disable him, and so she could run. You know? I think that's it. What extent should a woman have to go to protect herself?
When we're going to go down that road, why not just say you should give them a gun while you're at it?
Well, if somebody's coming to take my life or to abuse me sexually, physically, mentally, why wouldn't I shoot them?
Or a taxi driver have a baseball bat down the side of his seat or something like that. I mean, that's
me. It just goes to show you the fear that's out there that, you know, you can't even have a livelihood. And one of the things that really upset me now is I found out that a rape that did happen in Dublin at the weekend was a woman that came to this country to see the AC/DC concert.
Oh, God. I didn't know
that. A terrorist came to this country to go and see a concert, and she ends up being raped.
I mean,
and then there's another allegation of something happened on the north side. You know, so even foreign people, never look at, you should be able to protect the women of this country. Now visitors can't even come here; they're being raped.
But statistically, unfortunately, you know, there are psychopaths in this world, and there are villains,
exactly.
And there are bad people. And no matter you know what you do, those bad people will exist. So, unfortunately, for that woman, she has become part of those statistics. But those statistics don't change too much in relation to the size of the population and in relation to what we're aware of. So they don't change. Mm. I mean, men never really reported assaults, and they still don't, believe it or not. They don't report.
Yeah.
But women, certainly, when we look at the statistics, there has been a massive increase in the last 20 years. But I think a lot of that is to do with the fact that women, since the Me Too movement, report crimes more than they ever did before. Like a lot of those assaults against women would be their own boyfriends, husbands, whatever. You know, that would have been never reported 30 years ago.
No, exactly, because women were, fear was put into them then.
Yeah.
Now there's fear.
For some reason, we led women to believe that was part of your life. You just accept what your boyfriend or husband does. I mean, at one stage in this country, it wasn't even illegal to rape your own wife.
Within marriage, yeah, I know. But like I said, I just never thought, you know, if I had a daughter, do you think I'd be letting her out? Like you have a young daughter. Would you feel she'd be safe in Dublin if she was going off to meet her friends? I don't think so. You'd probably bring her in the car and leave her there. Or your stepdaughter, for that case, you know what I mean? So you have to look after the welfare of the women. But I can't see a problem. If I can pepper spray somebody, I don't see... If he's coming into my physical space, rape me or harm me as a woman, I'm going to taser him and I'm going to disable him so I can get away. So I think it should be considered.
Okay, thank you, Morris. Thank you for that. Let me go to Tara. Tara, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are things?
Good. Tara, is it a kind of step too far for all of us to start panicking and saying, well, you hear Morris, he believes we should have tasers should be illegal, not just pepper spray. Senator Sharon Kogan said it's time to legalise pepper spray.
I don't care if pepper spray is made legal or not, because it's not the only solution. You know, what I would suggest to women is if you go out walking or jogging and you're concerned about being attacked by a muscle cramp, I would carry deep heat spray, and that isn't illegal. Mm. And if you are, God forbid, attacked by anyone and you happen to use this in self-defense, and should you end up being questioned or arrested for having used that object as a weapon, well, you can always make it clear you were carrying it in case you got a muscle cramp. So it's like carrying a baseball bat. If you have the baseball bat as well as the bat,
carry a ball.
To say your intent was, carry the baseball as well as the bat. It's hard for any court to say your intent was to use the bat as a weapon. So it's about thinking ahead. So they can keep it illegal. It's not going to stop me from protecting myself.
Mm. And do you carry DPs in your bag?
I do, and I'm going to be taking up kickboxing classes as well so I can defend myself. And that's not paranoia, because I myself have been followed home at night by one of our new arrivals, and there's a lot of them in the town where I will soon be living full time. So I'd rather be vocally paranoid and prepared than to be silent and sorry.
Then there is the question. Are we paranoid? Are we a little bit paranoid? Do you think the fear is warranted that particularly women would have? Because statistics will show you that it hasn't changed much when you take into consideration that more women report crimes than ever before. So, you know, realistically, things haven't changed as much as you might think. It's just that we get to see it all the time because it's live on social media, or there's always somebody with a camera around, I suppose.
I'm very wary of any statistics that the government release because there's a lot of cushioning going on and a lot of...
But this is what the European Data Journalism Network, right. They're called Noteworthy, they release those figures. Anyway, but... Yeah.
Like, I've no doubt there is an element of paranoia, but at the same time, considering the cultures that most of these men come from and how these cultures view women and rape, that paranoia is justified. Mm. And if anything, yes, social media can sometimes feed into that paranoia, but... The good outweighs the bad in the sense that it's also creating a lot of awareness of what's happening.
Yeah. I mean, I understand. I mean, I mentioned earlier on to Ian, you know, that lad that was arrested there a while ago in the UK for, you know, he had sex with a 14-year-old. He was from Algeria or something like that. And he said he didn't know it was illegal. That's a cultural thing.
Yeah, and people will say, oh, you're being Islamophobic, you're being hateful. And what I would ask those people is, would you allow your daughter or your sister travel alone by bus in India or Iraq or Nigeria? And that's not being hateful. This is just fact. You wouldn't allow them to do it. Because we all know what happens to a lot of women who travel alone out there. And those incidents happen because of the mindset of the males and the culture they were raised in. And you'd want to be another level of naive to assume that men from a certain culture park that mindset when they get here. Women from the West represent everything they hate. If anything, them being around us just... It antagonizes them even more. It fires them up even more. It fires up that hate that they have. I'm not saying all of them are like that, but a lot of them are like that because that's the culture they come from. They think we represent the worst of the worst. And they've said that online. You can see comments from...
How dare you be independent? How dare you be independent? Yeah.
It's like, you know, women, well, Muslim women, they have it right, and it's women for the West need to be like Muslim women. And, you know, I think some, I remember reading, now look, I don't know if this incident actually happened, but I know a woman was contributing to a conversation online, and she said that she was in the supermarket picking out clothes, and a man came up to her. She's assuming he was a Muslim man, but he came up to her and said that, oh, you need a man to pick out these clothes.
I saw that story.
And then apparently, a scuffle ensued, and I think there was three men. And they shouted, oh, you'll all be kind of taught, you'll all be taught a lesson when when Sharia law takes over.
Yeah, I saw that video. She put it up on TikTok. That was in Dundrum Shopping Centre or something like that.
Yes. So there's been, you know, there's a very archaic mindset, and it's not compatible with Western culture. And they don't want to integrate. That's the problem. Because they don't see anything wrong with the way they think. They see nothing wrong with the way they think.
Want to stress, Tara, you know, that the vast majority of people who are Muslim are not like that. But there is certainly a grouping within that who have an extreme view, an extremist view, and they believe that you shouldn't have any independence. Then they believe you need a man, and they believe that you should dress and cover up all the time, etc., etc. And they believe that the way you behave is wrong.
I absolutely agree with you. But at the same time, the Muslim people who are not vocally expressing that ideology, why aren't they speaking out against those who do?
But some do. I've heard some. I have heard some do that. But it depends, of course, on which particular sect they belong to. But getting back to just feeling safe on the streets, so that's part of why you don't feel safe on the streets. So then you believe, what about a taser? Should you be allowed to carry a taser?
slippery slope when you start carrying a taser.
It could be used against you.
And as well as that, it could be used in a situation that maybe doesn't merit it. I mean, someone could just come up to you asking for directions and the person gets a fright and all of a sudden sticks the person with the taser. Like, you know,
6,000 volts through them.
It's a slippery slope. I think what will be more effective will be the likes of, say, self-defense classes where you're taught how to physically defend yourself so you don't need to rely on a weapon.
Okay. Thank you for that, Tara. Let me go to Gladys as well. Gladys, hi, how are you?
Yeah, hi. Hi, Niall. Just a few things that I heard that Tara said that I would agree with. But having lived in the Middle East, if you didn't dress like the rest of the Arab women, you were followed. If you went into the supermarket, I used to find it funny. You'd look behind you and there'd be about 10 men following you around, you know, wanting to give you their telephone numbers. It was weird. But you had to stay safely away in the compound kind of living. But because there is this understanding that we as Western women are available. That's what they're taught. That's what they believe in. And it doesn't matter how educated they are or non-education. You know, that is the belief system. But in relation to feeling safe, like my eldest daughter just told me about, you know, that all her mates and friends all carry DP spray.
DPs.
Now that's new. That's a new, I know. I didn't know that. That's new.
I didn't know that until today either, by the way. Can I just
say? You know, I didn't know that until today because I just was telling
you. And I do believe they sell a little travel bottle because it's meant to bring, you know, on holidays, which they sell a little travel bottle, which is small and fits neatly into your handbag.
Yeah, but I would tell you, Niall, that what doesn't happen, and this is what scares the life out of me and it makes me so angry, that in the statistics that say crime, oh, it's just because it's more reported. In fact, so many of it is not reported. Because my youngest daughter, very heavily pregnant, had a bottle put to her neck for asking a guy not to piss in her garden.
Oh, my.
So that was not recorded. That wasn't a headline. You don't read those things anywhere. In so much so that it was such a traumatic experience where they sold up.
Wow.
They sold up.
Wow.
So you won't read this.
Yeah.
You know, horrendous. Now,
I know there are crimes that happen every day that go unreported.
Yeah.
Or nothing is actually done about them. Or maybe they do get reported and nothing ever happens. Nothing gets done because they don't know
who the person
is.
Well, there you go. There was a camera, you know, a viewing of these people, you know, this absolute headbanger. And an older man dragged him away. You know, sort of thing. So that, to me, that I actually live in a country, in a city, that would happen to a pregnant woman. Unrelated, not domestic violence, you know, because that does happen. But unrelated, because you ask them not to piss in your garden, like, don't be an animal, you know, you stop pissing in my garden when you're just after passing the toilet in the pub. Why would you do that, you know?
But here's my fear, right? So let's say that situation where some guy is pissing in your garden, right? And I'm sure people around Crow Park will see it every day of the week.
Yeah, every day.
So somebody's pissing in your garden, right? And you go out, you know, you're a woman, you're 25 years of age, you go and say, don't piss in my garden. And he goes, oh, piss off, he's locked, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you go, and spray him with your pepper spray. Is that not going to make matters worse? Whereas he might just do the pissing away.
Well, I think what he did, though, was taking a bottle that he had in his hand and tried to put it to her throat.
Mm.
I would have used anything.
I understand
anything.
That situation, what happened. But I'm just saying generally, Do you think by carrying an offensive weapon and then using it, maybe, you know, in the wrong situations, could make matters worse sometimes?
I do kind of have a bit of a feeling with the taser or whatever, but I think women, and this has always been the case, women have always felt, when I was young, I didn't feel it. I used to walk home from town on my own, never thought about it. Nothing happened. I was very lucky, you know, all of those kind of carry on. But there's something gone particularly nasty within our society. I can't put my finger, I don't know what the hell is wrong.
But you're still unlikely, Gladys, when you look at statistics, you're still unlikely to be attacked walking home. You know what I mean?
I'd still like to have something with me as a security.
Yeah.
And what Tara said about, you know, that, you know, self-defense classes.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Women have always, through time, need to be aware of their situation. They need to be always aware, looking around. That was when I was young. That's now that I'm old. It's the same thing. I am very conscious, you know, that of my vulnerability. I'm extremely conscious of what I will not use a handbag anymore now. You know, because
is the whole conversation a little bit sexist in the sense that, you know, when you look at the statistics here, 6 in 10 victims, 60% of assaults in 2023 were male.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is the whole conversation around, you know, random attacks on the street quite sexist because more men are assaulted on a regular basis than women, but yet we seem to talk about women being assaulted more than men.
I think the assault on women is usually sexual assault. Mm. It isn't usually the assault on men. I would worry about my son out in town. You know, I mean, and all of that. That one punch, you know, sort of thing on the ground. Look the wrong way, or somebody decides he looks the wrong way, or, you know, a few drinks on board, all of that. I have always worried about him because it was always that one punch with the guy, you know, for nothing, just out of nothing. And what's happened now, and I've read a good few cases of poor devils that are homeless and maybe with alcohol taken being raped. You know, that has happened.
Yeah, well, I want to continue those by saying in 2023, 4 and 5, 81% of victims reported instances of sexual offences were female. About half of all victims, 49%, were under the age of 18 when the incident took place. So yes, there is no doubt that women are the victims of sexual assault than men, although they would argue that in prisons, if you want to include prisons in that, In America, for example, there's more sexual assaults against men than women because you have to include prisons.
Yeah.
But
and we live in a more violent situation.
Well, no, we do. There's no doubt about that.
You know, and young guys are the ones that, you know, I mean, you know, sort of thing like, I mean, coming across the one punch, as I say, you know, sort of thing like, or ready, you know, what are you looking at, kind of, you know, what I mean, to give you a take type of thing. So they're extremely vulnerable to violence. But women have always been scared of being raped.
Okay, so you would definitely legalise pepper spray?
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay. All right, Gladys, thank you for that. Let me go to Rory as well. Rory, hi, how are you?
Niall, not bad. How are you?
Good. Rory, I mean, I think everybody would say the same thing to a degree that we should legalise it. There are very few people who are saying quite the opposite. But the reasons for legalising it, are we delusional? Is it really less safe in the world now than it is before, or are we just more aware of crime?
I think it is. I mean, in years gone by, I would have said there was a bit of hysteria. That the problem you want to avoid is where some poor idiot is asking a lady for directions and ends up getting sprayed in the face.
That's the problem, isn't it? Yeah, that it'd be overused. Yeah. Or he runs up with a bunch of flowers and says, "You're beautiful." And she goes, "Harassment." You know what I mean?
Yeah. Where they're irrationally paranoid, we'll say, like, no. But I really don't. I mean, it goes back to the immigration thing. I mean, I suppose we're... I think you mentioned correlation between immigration and I think the Danish and Swedish, I mean, they presented, I mean, it's absolutely off the charts, the correlation between...
Yeah, we don't keep statistics stupidly, you know, if I don't know why.
Well, you know why, is because they probably know what the answer is going to be.
Of course, yeah.
No, this is the problem. This is, they're kind of making a statement in that declinature, you know, so it's it's a common sense. These men come from very violent societies. Yeah, probably they do. What level of rights to even women who show a bit of hair in these societies, probably how are they treated? And then they come here and women are in t-shirt shorts, maybe in the summer. Like,
yes.
What's scary is anytime you hear the interviews with some of these guys is that they've an awful lot of entitlement. And as your previous speaker said, a lot of aggression towards, they're blaming,
They blame the West. A lot of them blame the West for everything.
The West, yeah. And they kind of spray gun, yeah. It's the white Christians, maybe this. Well, I mean, it suits them to blame us because there's kind of, it's a way of eliciting freebies, really. You know, but one guy seemed to have it in his head that the Irish were, that the Sudanese civil war, which is an internal civil war, the Irishman was at fault for this somehow. I don't know what the NGOs are telling these people.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't.
Well, I don't know whether the way they're being educated in their own countries too, as well, about what they're being told about the West. And look, you know, there's no doubt there are individuals that come to this country. And when you, as I said already, when you have 150,000 people, you know, in the space of a year come into the country from, you know, Ukraine or Algeria or Somalia or Nigeria or whatever it happens to be across the world, you are going to have an increase in crime, logically, because it's an increase in population.
Logically, yeah. More people, yeah.
But is that disproportionate? Because we don't keep stats, the only stats I can give you is that over 21% of the prison population are non-ethnically Irish, whereas 12 to 13% of the population are ethnically Irish. Sorry, that's right. Yeah. So the point is that is disproportionate.
I mean, they're probably at the lower tiers of society, so that's where the crime is. But you can kind of never win. I mean, Ian mentioned, in the States, African-Americans are vastly disproportionate in terms of commission of crime, but they're only in prison. I mean, that's also protecting African-American communities, because they murder other black people. So isn't
sadly,
it,
yes.
It's protecting those black people, but you kind of can't win because the lefties will just focus on, they'll say all of this is discrimination.
Mm.
Lefties have really ruined, those civil libertarian types have said all crime is a product of poverty and boo-hoo, and look where we are now. And all they can do then is blame the white man. They're kind of jubilant whenever an Irish white man does a bad thing. But when it's someone foreign, they don't even release the name. It's a Cork man or a Galway man, unnamed.
Yeah.
You kind of know who it is, you know.
Yeah. Cork man, who looks no more from Cork than anybody else. Anyway, but in relation to crime in general, I do believe there's a sense that there's a purge going on out there when there actually isn't. Because, you know, and I mentioned earlier on, you know, 30 years ago when I was young, or 40 years ago when I was young and I started at Media First, the only thing I had was two newspapers, the Herald and the Press. They had 30 pages each, and they decided what the biggest stories in the world were. Most of it would have been politics. So Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Labour Party would have been on the front page or whatever. For some reason, Shirley Haughey, whatever.
Yeah.
And the rest would have been the more important stories. So, you know, the video of Johnny getting beaten up in the middle of O'Connell Street or Mary getting a box in the head from some, I don't know, refugee or whatever, those videos didn't appear. Those stories didn't appear. We never heard about them. So they didn't exist in our minds. So in other words, unsafeness didn't exist in our minds because we didn't see it. But now, you know, you just pick up your mobile phone. There's a citizen journalist on every corner. So everything, we get to see, you know, the horrific world that we live in and the dangers of this world. We get to see it in our phones.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's very anecdotal. I mean, for all of those videos, there's presumably a white man doing a bad thing somewhere.
Absolutely,
you know? So
of course.
It doesn't prove a lot to me. I mean, I think we should go with just the empirical data, the stats, which they won't do for the reasons I've said. They kind of probably, I mean, there will probably be a disproportionate number of non-nationals committing crime for various reasons. It's not to do with their race. It's often cultural. You know, but
Okay. So, Rory, you're in agreement about the pepper spray anyway. We should legalise it.
I should legalise, and there should be a huge grey area in terms of, and I'm horrified to think that they could be charged at all just for wanting to feel safe.
I mean, look, in fairness, pepper spray doesn't do any permanent damage, thankfully. If it was guns, it would be in a different kettle of fish altogether. Thank you, Rory. Let me go to Carl. Carl, hi, how are you?
Loyal, how are you?
Good. Carl,
go ahead. I can solve this strainer.
Okay, how do you solve it?
Let's stop women from going out.
How about that? That'd be a good plan, all right, wouldn't it? I don't think they'd be happy about it, but yeah, that would solve the problem, all right.
No, look, most women carry a handbag when they go out at night time.
Yeah.
Never mind your deep heat spray or your pepper spray or anything like that. A simple can of deodorant or perfume is enough. Mm. And most women carry them in their bags anyway. Or even the metal nail files. We have as real as a needle in the eyeball.
Yeah.
You stick someone in the eyeball with a metal nail, they won't be doing any damage to anybody.
I'm always cautious about telling anybody to protect themselves using a weapon of any description, be it a nail file or a scissors or whatever it is. Because, you know, if the perpetrator is mad enough and wants to attack you enough, they'll just take it off you and use it against you then. And what will happen is you're only going to make that person, that perpetrator, if you stick a nail file in them, angrier. And then they're more likely to do you more harm. So that is the danger. Whereas at least with pepper spray, you're disabling them and you can run.
Well, I can't run. I was watching a program over here, The Guards. I mean, I'm sure most of your listeners have watched that program, The Guards. And The Guards will tell you that behind all these warring factions amongst the Irish people, it's actually women who are the head of the households who are starting all this trouble. Mm. This is The Guard saying this to us, you know. Yeah. And you look at the fights in O'Connell Street, and I've seen it. There's always women involved in it, roaring and shouting and pointing the finger. You know, so there are women who goes out who go to cause.
Oh no, I'm not saying that women don't cause trouble. Of course they do. Women commit crimes too. And I remember from my nightclub days, you know, 90% of fights between men were usually over a woman. There was usually a woman in the middle directing the fight because some bloke had flirted with her or looked her the wrong way or something, and her boyfriend was defending her honor. You know what I mean?
I bought her a drink, chatted her up.
Well, you know the story. You know, are you going to let him look at me like that? Are you going to let him speak to me like that? And the boyfriend is like, "No, I'm going to box the head off him for you, love." I understand that, but you know, do you believe there's an increase in random crime against women? You know,
do you think
Dublin is less safe than it was? Well, it clearly is because of the higher population, but do you think it's less or that much less safe than it was 30 years ago?
No. And I hung around town 30 years ago and I stayed in town every night of the week, at 2, 3, 4 in the morning and came home. And I never once got into an argument, never even seen an argument back then in town. It was very rarely to see an argument.
And you think now, you'd have the same experience if you went in now?
No. No, I don't. My wife goes in. I don't go into the city centre at all. I just don't do people. I just no time for bullshit. And that's being honest with you.
Mm. And does your wife feel safe in town?
She'd go in with her friends and she'd come home. Yeah,
okay.
She wouldn't be afraid to go into town. You know, but she'd always say, "I'm a bit weary, but I wouldn't be afraid."
She's a good barometer then of whether it's safe or not. Well, then it seems to be safe enough as far as your wife is concerned.
Yeah, but then look at the tourists who were interviewed there on a programme on television was the safest city you've been in over the past 5 years, and they're all saying Dublin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't heard one of them saying, no, I wouldn't go to, I wouldn't stay in Dublin. There are a few people who get attacked and they've been beaten up or robbed, and they still say, they say, oh, no, one or two of them say, oh, I wouldn't go back to Dublin. But there is people who've been robbed and say, yeah, it's still a lovely city. 99% of the people are very friendly and they're helpful, and it's a lovely place to visit.
Mm.
It's the 1% that just gives everyone a bad name. Which is
it only takes a small percentage of people to ruin everything for everybody. You know, we can see that. I mean, particularly when you've seen more recently, you know, some tourists who have been badly attacked or one murdered, for example, in the middle of the city, you know, and all of a sudden that goes worldwide and Ireland gets a bad reputation. You know, and those things don't happen often, thankfully.
Yeah, we used to be known as the island of 1,000 welcomes. I mean, that's loaded.
999 welcomes now at this stage. Carl, thank you for that. Okay, Carl thinks not a bad idea, and he also says maybe a nail file too. Maria.
Hello, Niall.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good.
Mm. Marie, sorry. I got it wrong again.
Marie.
Yeah.
I know we're talking about women, their fear, and carrying fabric. But I have another concern that I don't think has been discussed yet. I don't know. But kids are going back to school now in September. Should we be worried about kids going back to school? Especially in certain areas where there are, for example, migrant centres near still in the cities, in the like Dublin, Galway, Letterkenny, Cork, whatever, should we be worried about those?
So particularly girls' schools or young girls?
Girls or boys, whatever.
Okay. Well, I think probably girls are more at risk, are they?
Well, we're talking about knife crime as well. So
okay, yeah.
What I'm thinking is, you know, a lot of them might, like, a lot of them, as Sarah said, they come from cultures where...
You're breaking up a little bit, Marie. Are you in a different room today than you were before, or have you...
No, I should be... Hang on, do I have something on in the background, maybe?
No, maybe. Are you on speaker or something like that? Okay.
I'm on speaker, yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay. But that's better. Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, knife crime certainly is something that's very prominent now at the moment, unfortunately. And it certainly is. There has been an increase in knife crime both here and in the UK, particularly in the UK. We've seen it more recently. And that needs to be tackled.
It's off. Thank you. And the other thing as well is, I mean, you've got to consider that anyone coming in, migrants, they've nothing to do all day. And you know, as a person yourself.
Oh, yeah. The devil makes work for idle hands. Yeah.
Yeah. So all you do, all they're probably doing all day, sitting around drinking, doing drugs, whatever it is, you know, just keep, as a person, just keep themselves occupied, whatever. They've nothing else to do. I mean, it all adds up and it makes it very worrying. I think parents should be worried about their kids going back to school in those areas.
In the areas where there might be an IPAS centre. Or wherever.
Yes, yeah. or huge migrant centres, or cities in general.
Mm.
Especially as we've seen attacks on kids lately in the UK.
Mm.
And I mean, whatever happens in the UK usually ends up happening here at some stage as well, you know. And we've seen a lot of knife crime.
Yeah, we have seen a lot of knife crime and people running around with machetes and all sorts of things in the UK. And that's horrendous. By the way, I've seen that here too, by the way. It's quite shocking. Here.
Yeah.
It's not something we're familiar with. But getting back to pepper spray, do you think that particularly young girls, obviously everybody can carry it if they want, but do you think young girls should be allowed to carry pepper spray?
Well, my only concern with pepper spray is that if it's lying around the house and kids get their hands on it, kids start using it in the playground by, you know, messing around or whatever. That's my only fear with pepper spray, is if it needs to be monitored. I mean, I know when I was in my 20s, I always knew I had a can of deodorant in my bag and I always knew it was there. I mean, surely it would have somewhat a similar effect with pepper spray.
Well, I've been told by everybody to say that deep heat, which is the stuff you use for rubbing on your back, is actually the best thing to use. Yeah.
Yeah. I think there are things that we have at our disposal that we can use. I would be worried about pepper spray being used in the wrong hands or being used wrongly.
Indiscriminately, in other words. Some guy just comes up, you know, and wants for your phone number, and all of a sudden you think you're being harassed and you spray the poor lad. Yeah, okay. Thank you for that, Maria. Let me go to Tony. Tony, hi, how are you?
Hello, Noel. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. Tony, I'm getting a resounding yes from everybody, except Maria, by the way, who believes it could be, you know, in the wrong hands, it could be used by somebody, you know, indiscriminately.
Well, of course it could be used in the wrong hands. Like, why wouldn't it be used in the wrong hands?
No, indiscriminately, by somebody, maybe a lad just comes up to a girl looking for her phone number and she kind of goes, I don't like the look of him.
Does a girl can walk up to another girl as well and say, yeah, but just like you were chatting up my boyfriend and spray her in the face as well.
Yeah, that's a problem, isn't it?
It should be made legal for protection anyway. But Noel, I don't honestly think if a man is prepared to attack a woman, she's not going to get a pepper spray on time anyway. She's not going to get, if he's held back.
Normally what happens is if a woman is walking down the street and she detects somebody walking behind her, you know, at that stage, she's normally getting the pepper spray out of her bag to have it ready in her hand. That's normally what people would do. It's not like as he's attacking her, she's trying to get it out of her bag, because that's not going to happen.
No, that wouldn't happen
if you had a knife or a gun or anything else for that matter. So,
no, I don't think it's going to make any difference, even if the girl had got a knife or, as the lad said, like a nail file or a scissors.
Taser or whatever, like,
if a man is hell-bent, the whole thing is for to stop men and do your best to stop men. And what we're doing now is we're not even looking at the figures of other countries that have imported a lot of migrants from third world countries.
It's not just, yeah, but
and the country, our politicians will not keep statistics on that. And we all know the reason why they won't keep statistics on that.
But it's not just migrants that attack.
There lies the problem. Like, if the government don't really want to know.
Yeah, Carl, I agree with you, by the way. We should keep statistics for many reasons. But it's not just migrants that attack women.
No, it's not just migrants that attack women, no. But when migrants do attack women, it's not publicised. It's not hidden up. Like, you know yourself. But just like Jessie Morphing's murder was covered up. They said he strangled her when she had 14 stab wounds to the neck.
Mm. I don't remember anyone saying he strangled her, but I don't remember that part. But from the very start, I knew. I mean, there would have been a slow release. See, here's the problem we have in Ireland, right, in the general public. A crime happens tomorrow, right? And let's say a woman is killed in town. And hopefully that doesn't happen. And all of a sudden, on social media, everybody's demanding information. We want to know who did it. How did they do it? When did they do it? How long are they living here? Are they Irish? Are they not Irish? What colour is their skin? And everybody wants to know all of this information, right?
Right. No,
okay, and if they don't get the information immediately, it's a cover-up.
Turn the clock back.
Hang on. Let me finish what I'm saying. If they don't get the information immediately, it's a cover-up, right? That's what they say. Oh, the guards are covering her up. Oh, hold on. The guards have to do a job. There is a process in doing that job. They can't release information sometimes to the general public. They have to do it in a certain way. And then what happens is the person is charged, right? And then once the person is charged, you hear them all on social media, oh, we're not talking about that murder anymore, are we? Why aren't the media talking about it? The media aren't talking about it because they're not allowed. It's the law. Like, if there's an ongoing crime, like the crime last week with Father Paul Murphy, who was stabbed last week.
It was out straight away. It was a 16-year-old Irish national who was...
Okay, but look, it doesn't matter. I don't want to go into the crime. The point is, we cannot discuss that right now. Because the man in question, or the minor in question, has been charged already. That means you cannot discuss it. Do you understand? Why do people understand that? It's really simple to understand.
Right, like what I'm talking about, like that was like that information was given out within hours, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah. Well, actually, there was three newspapers printed all the information within a few hours. But that is unusual. Normally, it takes a little bit longer. No, the point I'm making is, there's demands already on social media. Why aren't we talking about it? Why aren't we talking about, you know, the elements of that case? I don't want to go into the elements because I can't, right? Why aren't we talking about it? The reason is we have a law. It's called sub judice. And that means the media, or indeed any individual publicly, cannot discuss the case because you have to wait till it goes to court and the person gets a trial. That's the way it works.
Right.
Just like Tony, if you were accused of something tomorrow, you're entitled to a presumption of innocence. That's the law.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but people don't.
Yeah, but there's no one debating that. Like, there's no one.
They debate it. No, they're giving out about it online all the time. Oh, why aren't the media talking about it? The media are silenced.
Hold on, Noel. There has been cover-ups. There has definitely been cover-ups. We haven't had a dicky board. Like, there was lads arrested at a protest, 15 of them, and their names and addresses and their occupations were given out in the Irish media.
Mm. Yeah, and that's wrong, by the way. I condemn that at the time. Putting people's pictures on the front of the paper under the Public Order Act, you know, for a public order issue, was completely wrong.
The names and addresses given out. Like,
yeah, but boycott the newspaper that did it, because that was wrong.
There's nothing about them. There's nothing about them. There's nothing about the Algerian man. There's nothing.
Yeah, because he hasn't been to court yet. What do you want to know about him? There's nothing I can tell you about him. He hasn't been to court yet. When the case comes to court, all of the details of the case will then be released by the media as the facts are revealed. And once the case is over and somebody's either found guilty or not guilty of the crime, whatever it happens to be, then you can all speak as much as you want. That's the way it works.
Right. And if this had been 15 or 20 years ago, like, and that was an Irish national who stabbed...
It wouldn't have been talking... It would have been exactly the same.
No, it would have been headlines...
Would you stop, Tony? You're wrong. It was headlines in the newspaper. It absolutely was. Of course, it was. It was all over the newspaper when it happened. But what I'm saying is, certain information has to be kept for a courtroom.
Of course, like if they looked at the statistics from around Europe, air ministers came out and said that there's no correlation between immigration and crime. Mm. That's absolute nonsense.
Well, I would agree with you. I believe that's complete and utter nonsense. And we'll never know because we don't keep those statistics. And we should keep those statistics. I think it's in our interest to keep those statistics. Okay, getting back to the original question because I've loads of people to come on. Tony, pepper spray. Yes?
Yes.
Mm.
Should be. Yeah. Should be legalised for ladies. And if she uses it wrongly or indiscriminately and just walks up to someone for no apparent reason, she should be prosecuted.
All right, thank you for that. Let me go to Norman. Norman, hi, how are you? Oh, sorry, Tony, what are you saying?
All right, like, let's be honest, like, the Garda are using this pepper spray on women.
Oh, no, I know. By the way, I don't agree with the way the guards are using pepper spray currently at the moment. It's quite indiscriminate. There is rules, and Garda Síochána have rules around the use of pepper spray, and they seem to have abandoned all the rules. No, they're not abiding by them. No, I know that.
Because there was women, as you know, in Newtown, Mount Kennedy. Several women.
Fatima Gunning, who works for Grip Media, was sprayed. She said, I'm a journalist, and they still sprayed her.
Was sprayed.
Yeah, well, by the way, anybody who's at a protest, who's sprayed at indiscriminately, if you've done nothing wrong, essentially, and you've been sprayed at, make a complaint.
And that's the Garda that's doing that.
Well, then complain to the Garda Ombudsman. You have a right to make a complaint. If you've been attacked by the guards and you haven't done anything wrong, you have a right to make a complaint. And I hope Fatima Gunning makes a complaint, by the way, from Grip Media. She actually clearly stated on numerous occasions, I'm press, and they still sprayed her. Norman, thank you for that, Tony. Norman, hi, how are you?
Hello, Niall, how are things?
Good. Norman, pepper spray, two questions. Pepper spray, and is it really, is the world, or certainly Ireland, a much more dangerous place than it was 20 years ago?
I don't really think so. No, I think unfortunately, and this is what I hear from friends of mine from, say, Benelux or Scandinavia, they don't find it particularly dangerous here. But they do seem that Irish people make a big deal out of it.
Well, we kind of exaggerate everything a little bit, do we?
Yeah. We get a bit hysterical. And,
well, when people are raped or assaulted or killed, it is a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah. Of course, it's a big deal, but you have to react to it in the right fashion. When that poor girl was killed near the canal for weeks on end, it was like a witch hunt. You know, all men were dangerous, and you have to walk 5 meters behind them and all this other nonsense.
Mm. No, I thought that was wrong. I thought to portray every man as being as potentially a murderer at that particular time was wrong. Yeah,
and statistics generally showed that. We're not that violent as we were like 10, 20, 50, 100 years ago. It hasn't changed that much. It's just there's more attention given to it, you know?
Well, we read about it more in social media and everything else,
Exactly.
Okay, so on those grounds, pepper spray is illegal currently in Ireland under the Firearms Act.
Yeah.
Do you believe it should be legal?
Well, I think if a person, and unfortunately, most violence is directed towards women. So if it makes them feel safer, then I don't see a problem there.
Yeah.
But I think it's better that they start becoming less passive, unless maybe playing the victim, you know?
Who's playing the victim?
I think here in Ireland, women tend to be, you know, like little princesses, you know,
I don't think so, no. I mean, I don't think women are played the victim unless they're victims. Now, there are some, obviously, but generally speaking, you know, and I think, to be honest with you, so much crime, somebody mentioned earlier on there that, you know, a lot of women don't report crimes. A lot more than used to report them.
That's in the home. That's from a partner, probably, or from a member of family. And that's where the most violence comes from. And that's something we should look into and maybe do something about, you know. And also, for example, there was a woman killed, a young girl. She was on her way home. She couldn't get a taxi or something in Aalborg in Denmark. And she was picked up by somebody and she was killed. Mm. And after that, they opened these little centres around the town, in different towns. So if you feel in danger or you can't get home or you're stuck, or even if you're too drunk, you can go to these places and they look after you.
Oh, that's a good idea, isn't it?
Yeah. And it seems to be working very well.
You know? Do me a favour, actually, Norman. Stay there for a second. Norman believes that sometimes people play the victim and he doesn't believe it's quite as bad as people are making it out to be. Stay there, Norman. I want you to stay with me. Connie, hi. How are you?
Hi, Nine. How are you?
Good. Connie, according to Norman, you know, people are kind of playing the victim a bit here. It's not quite as dangerous as people think it is out there. Maybe it's kind of unnecessary to react to it.
I completely disagree with him. Sorry.
Okay, I imagine you would, but go on.
But how dare you say that? You know something, Irish women normally were fairly ballsy, would stand up. But I've lived in a few foreign countries, and I was young when I went to London, and someone told me one thing to do, and I just thought of it, it came back into my head. Someone catch you, if they catch you on the neck, if you haven't time, stick your two fingers into their eyes, and you'll have time to run.
Two fingers into their eyes, okay. Yeah.
Yes, if you get a chance, you'll get time to run. No, we have mobile phones nowadays where you could phone somebody or do something. But I had pepper spray and I thank God I never had to use it. But it should certainly be legalised. And I think every child in school, male and female, should be taught martial arts as a subject so that you can defend yourself if somebody is coming at you.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
We don't know. Yeah. And our country is, we have more people in our country. So obviously the crime has gone up. It's the same as a lot of other, Dublin, of course, would be more because it's a bigger city. It makes sense. Now, we should keep records of all our crime, absolutely, so we can look back on them. But of course, that wouldn't make sense for overlords.
Yeah, but here's the thing, right? And I mentioned earlier on about disproportionate amounts of cultures in jail, right? And I remember discussing many years ago that there was a disproportionate of members of the travel community in jail compared to the members of the settler community. Mm-hmm. And we kept those statistics, right? So if we were keeping those statistics, why are we not allowed to keep statistics of, you know,
exactly, Niall,
of foreign people or people from different cultures or different countries?
Where you're from, it's irrelevant of culture. If somebody is going to come up to, I don't have children, I'll take my niece. I was fairly streetwise because I went to London when I was only 18 and I lived in a couple of different countries and I was always very aware and also using your discernment and not pepper spraying somebody like that's not doing any harm to you. You know, a bit of common sense. But also, Niall, like, it'd be imperative that we keep our records of everybody and don't discriminate against anyone, no matter what colour or creed they are. If you feel you're in danger, your intuition will tell you, you know? And not going out walking on your own. I wouldn't walk on my own.
But I think it's important that we understand why maybe certain cultures or certain nationalities commit crime.
Differently. You
know what
I mean? Yeah. I lived in London now and I saw plenty of different nationalities. And I'm not going to name them, but I know who they are. And you probably do too. And a lot of them are coming into our country and they have they haven't been vetted. They're the same. There's some of them are the same colour, is all I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. I'm not racist. I am completely... there was an incident happened down here in Cork at the weekend, Saturday night, I think. And, you know, if you were going to jump to conclusions, you'd say, oh my God, who's that now? It was a town, the Manway. I don't think I'm supposed to speak about it because I think it's a family feud. And there was some kind of knife use, is all I know.
That's why I see that story, yeah. I mean, people would argue, okay, you're saying, you know, people should be vetted coming into Ireland from the UK. I don't think that's ever going to happen. There's free movement between the two countries because you wouldn't be vetted if you were going over there. So what I'm saying is that's not going to happen. But certainly, you know, if you have people coming in from other cultures around the world. Norman, just in relation to what Connie's saying, this notion that Hannah McEntee said we don't keep statistics on ethnicity or, you know, culture when people commit crimes, is that wrong?
I may have said to you before that I was studying sociology and social policy, and you have to have statistics. You can't say, I can't take it. I can't say...
It's not politically correct. That's the reason.
You have to write down whatever it is written down and know that as a fact and do your best to write down the statistics properly.
But I can tell you now, we'll have statistics out of somebody's from Cork or Dublin, or they're a traveller, or they're settled, or whatever. We'll have those kind of statistics, but we don't have statistics on people who come from other countries and commit crimes.
That's discrimination, isn't it? Because
it kind of is, isn't it? Yeah, it is.
That's the political correctness has gone mad again, you know. And instead of helping people, it obscures the information that may be vital to helping problems.
Because how could you ever fix a problem when you don't know why, if it exists in the first place? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. The first rule is identify the problem, what is the source of the problem, then maybe you can do something about it. Mm. Otherwise, you're just being...
Okay, but Connie, when you're back in Cork now, you're living back in Cork now, when you're in Cork and you're walking around the streets, do you feel safe?
I'd be wary, and I probably wouldn't have a handbag. And... if it was night time, I certainly would be wary. More wary.
And would you always have pepper spray in your bag?
No, not in Ireland, no.
Oh, you're not in Ireland?
I'd say an old prayer to somebody up there.
Would you? Okay. And would you keep anything in your bag? Yeah. Do you keep like deodorant or DPs?
If you're going to give out the energy of fear, you're going to, you know, you could attack it too. So I'd be wary, but I wouldn't be afraid. There's a difference.
Right, okay. Would you be able to handle yourself?
I don't know, I'm not sure. I probably don't want to do martial arts myself now.
Okay, Connie, thanks for that. Let me go to Alva. Alva, hi, how are you?
Hi, good, how are you?
Good. Alva, well, firstly, do you feel safe as a woman? And I'm speaking to so many women today, which is great. Do you feel safe as a woman walking the streets?
No, I don't actually, no.
No.
I was in Galway City Saturday evening around 10 o'clock at night, and I was walking from one end of the square to the other end of the square, and I, on purpose, went around the park, Air Square Park. I didn't want to go through the park.
Right.
Because it's dark, and a lot of people just sit there drinking. You don't know who's going to pop out of the bushes. But I felt like Connie said, you have to be kind of on your guard. You know, you can't look like you're going to be afraid. You know, you have to be kind of ballsy. But
yeah, walk confidently.
Yeah, it's very hard not to have all of the... As I was walking through, I just kept thinking of what's going to happen and what's on the news and what happened yesterday and what happened the day before. All you're hearing about is stabbings. And kicking and screaming isn't going to get you anywhere. You know, so I do think if I had pepper spray in my bag, I probably at that moment would have taken it out of my bag as I was walking through the park.
And just held it in your hand just in case.
Yeah.
And that's what most women would do. It's when they feel that fear, they would take it out of the bag and have it ready. The danger is, of course, that you spray the wrong person. Somebody comes up and just taps you on the shoulder because they want your phone number, and you turn and go, you know, and spray them in the face. Now, don't get me wrong. The good thing about pepper spray is it doesn't do any permanent damage, generally speaking. It just incapacitates the person for a period of time. So there's probably no reason for it to be illegal in the first place, because as somebody else said earlier on, you can use deep heat, which is exactly the same thing. Not illegal. If the guards ever stop you with deep heat, you just save a pain in me back.
But
Alva, compared to, you know, I don't want to ask your age, but compared to, say, going out 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I don't know if you were going out 10 years ago, because you sounded reasonably young. I mean, does it feel any safer or less safer now? And is a lot of that due to social media? Because you're seeing all of this stuff on social media. Are we a bit paranoid, maybe?
Do you know, maybe we are paranoid, but it's very hard to avoid, for example, in Galway City, it's not the same as it was 10, 15 years ago when I first started going out. As an 18-year-old, I'd be in Galway City, and there'd be plenty of nights where I'd be by myself, you know, maybe going to meet someone else in one place or going to meet the next person at the next place or whatever, and you'd be by yourself walking up Shop Street or around Air Square. There'd be no fear. I had no fear, but maybe because I wasn't aware of how dangerous the world really was back then. But now, like I said last weekend, it was very scary, like the thoughts, you know, maybe I was paranoid, but I mean, definitely it's very hard to avoid the fact, the very, very obvious fact that not everyone around you is of your same values and stuff, you know.
Yeah, not everyone is a good person.
Yeah, well, a lot of new people would say that. Say it that way.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. So different cultures is what you're talking about.
Different values.
Yeah, no, and that is a genuine fear people have. The Minister for Justice doesn't seem to have that fear. That's why we don't keep statistics on those things.
Well, I suppose, like, you don't know what they're thinking. Like, you think when you come across another Irish person, be it that, you know, obviously we have violent Irish people as well, but you kind of, as a woman facing, say, a violent man, you almost know what he's thinking. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Compared to, say, if there was a foreign violent man standing in front of me, I would be absolutely terrified because you don't know what they're thinking because they've come from a totally different world.
So you're used to dealing with Irish men. You can kind of generally suss them out fairly quickly and understand their mood.
I think so.
Yeah. I know. I get you look for all the cues and everything else. Yeah, of course. But if somebody's from a different culture, well, it's not quite the same thing because you don't know how they're thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I get that. Okay, thank you very much indeed. Alva, yes, believes. And Connie, yes, we should have pepper spray. Let me go to Albert. Albert, hi.
Hi, Niall. Well, actually, I think we don't need to legalise it.
Why?
Okay, well, the reason I think is that any offensive weapon or any defensive weapon can be used as an offensive weapon as well. So you could have, you know, guys getting in, coming along the road, spraying some girl and then dragging them into the bushes. Or you could have them going in with it and robbing shops or doing anything they want. So it's dangerous in that sense. There is another one, another product out there called Farb Gel. And it is available in the
what's
UK.
What's it called? Farb Gel?
Farb Gel. F-A-R-B-G-E-L.
Okay.
And what it does is, it actually, you can disorient the person and spray it into their face. But there's also a dye in it, which you can't wash off for about 7 days. So it means that the person who has attacked you can be recognised and the police or the guards, whatever it is, can try
so
and
they're identifiable. Okay, right. Very good. Yeah that's a really good idea, isn't it?
It is a bit more expensive than your DP, but I think women do need to do something. I think it does come down to education. I think we need to educate men and boys, you know, as in how to behave around women. But I think women... And it's terrible to say this, but they need to take risk aversion. Don't go out on your own. Don't be walking home at 2 o'clock in the morning.
And I agree, but they'll tell you that's victim blaming, and won't they? That's what they'll say.
No, I understand that, but I mean, even for myself, I mean, and I'm a man. I wouldn't walk home at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Absolutely,
and I'm a man.
I agree with you.
You know,
I agree.
Not worth the risk.
You know, this argument came up going back about 5 years ago when George Hook lost his job at News Talk, right? And
remember it,
and absolutely. And I love George on the radio. I thought he was great. He's a doddery old conservative, and he's great, right? I just love George Hawk, the right Hawk. There you go. Anyway, but he was talking about a case in the UK where somebody had gone to a hotel room and been taken advantage of, a young girl, by three or four lads. And he emphasized, you know, rape is a horrible thing and those responsible should go to jail, blah, 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 blah. And maybe he worded it badly, whatever. But all he said was, but please don't put yourself in vulnerable situations. If that was my daughter, I'd say be careful. Before you went into a room with three men, you know, don't put yourself in a vulnerable situation. That's all he was trying to say. It was a helpful piece of advice.
Yeah.
And of course, immediately, you're a victim blamer. You're a victim blamer. And I said at the time, I would say the same to my son. Don't walk down a laneway 12 o'clock at night where there might be lads. You know what I mean? And although he shouldn't be beaten up, you know what I mean? Sometimes you can be. There are always going to be rapists, smugglers, assaulters in this world. We can't rid them, the world of them. They're always going to be there. So you have to take steps to avoid it. And they are just preventative steps. I don't believe he should have lost his job. I think he should have had a debate about it, maybe the following Monday, and somebody said to him, well, look, okay, but it's better to say it this way or do it this way. But losing his job was just bonkers, you know? It was somebody actually in his own radio station that ousted him.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same like you would say to, let's say, your daughter or your granddaughter, if they're going somewhere, say, at night, say, listen, I'll pick you up, give me a call when you're ready. You're not going to say to her, well, you know, hop in a taxi or get a lift off somebody, or sure, why don't you walk home? I mean, if you said that, you'd be the worst in the world, you know? Mm-hmm. But getting back to on statistics, I know you said there's no statistics for certain people. But those statistics are there. They're just not collated. When they go through the court, their ethnicity and everything else is documented. When they go into prison, it's all documented. Because if they need special food or if they only eat halal meat or whatever it is, That's all there.
The prison statistics. I have the prison statistics here. So they do have those statistics. By the way, you talked about, you know, obviously teaching men and boys about how to treat women. That in itself is kind of sexist when you think about the logic and the statistics that are out there currently at the moment. You know what I mean? They say that, for example, men are more likely to be assaulted. So maybe we should teach young boys not to be attacking other boys as well. Like, not to be attacking everybody.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, look, I think when I said it, it's because you would classify like females as being the weaker sex. So you would look at them as a little more kindly towards them. But, I mean, everybody should be, you know, treat everybody the way they'd like to be treated. But we have, I don't think I can say there's scumbags out there who just don't give a shit about anybody. Male, female, young, old, makes no difference to them. And are you ever going to educate them? We don't know. But I mean...
Well, hang on a second. Albert, stay there, Eric, please, as well. Let me go to Steve. Steve, hi, how are you?
How are you, Niall? I'm not going to keep you too long.
I have to wrap it up anyway, Steve. I've only got 5 minutes left. Go to Eric as well. He's waiting patiently there.
Yeah, I just wanted to pull Albert up on something. The fact that he said that boys and men need to be taught how to treat women, that is a ridiculous notion. There's not a single guy out there who doesn't understand how we should treat women without having to take some sort of classes. We can see from
I disagree with you, Steve. There are men out there who have no respect for women.
Oh, well, hold on a second, Noel. Do you genuinely think, let's say that we go to a consent class and there's a guy in there who is a rapist, do you think he cares less what they're saying? Who is that education actually for?
I don't agree with consent classes. I don't think we're stupid, right? But in saying that, I do believe there are men who completely disrespect women, who are complete misogynists.
Hold on. And do you think that putting a bunch of men in a classroom and saying to them, this is how you treat women, so the guys who are going to be the misogynists, it doesn't matter what they're taught in the class, they're still going to be the misogynists. And the other guys that are in the class, in the majority, they're going to be the ones who are saying, what am I doing here? I already know how to treat women. This is a ridiculous thing. Women also need to understand how to treat men, because it is much more prevalent in an open society that men are beaten up by women regularly and nobody does anything about it.
It's a fair point.
So I think your man just needs to check himself on that before he goes.
Albert, I'll let you just address that. That is a fair point. You know, and I've done numerous social experiments on radio in relation to that. You know, women hitting men in public, women shouting at men in public, women treating men like children in public, speaking to their husbands like they're dirt in public, and nobody does anything. The only thing they ever do when we did the social experiments was laugh. Whereas if a man does that to a woman in public, immediately they'd be stopped.
I think if anybody, male or female, abuses their partner, the partner should walk away and the partner should walk out of that relationship. It's not a relationship they should be in. Simple as that.
Mm. No, I would agree with you.
Like, that is it. I mean, like, but
the point Steve is making is you're talking about teaching men how to treat women.
No, yeah, I'm kind of talking about like when children are young, that they grow up learning that.
With respect.
Especially with the internet now, and you see, like, what's out there on the internet where, like, women are being abused and everything else. I mean, it's almost like they're chattel now at this stage. You know, you can do whatever you want with a woman. Now, you can probably say the same with men. Men are doing the same with men.
Sorry, Albert, hold on a second.
Things that happen. Yeah, no, sorry, Steve.
You're saying it's the poor women. The amount of men who are bullied out there and who are used and abused by women these days is absolutely crazy. These days, a man needs to have a six pack, the perfect hair, an amazing car, all about the size of his wallet, or he's getting dumped in the morning. Men are abused more so than women these days than at any other point in history.
Any man who stays in an abusive relationship is stupid. He'd get out of it. So
I mean,
it is as simple
that.
As that. You
but
shouldn't
stop,
be
stop
with
flying
someone.
The flag.
You shouldn't
stop
be with someone who
women.
Doesn't love you and doesn't want to be with you and abuses you. Anybody
we
who stays in
that
relationship
that.
Is stupid. Now, there are people out there who like to be in abusive relationships.
You understand all you're doing is white knighting for women. I wish to Christ that one day somebody will come on this show and defend men from the women out there who are just... if equally, if not worse than men.
Well, in fairness, I did at the start of the show, I pointed out the statistics show that men are more likely to be assaulted. Yeah, I did say that from the very start. And I'll read out the statistics again. 6 in 10 victims, 60% of assaults in 2023 were male.
Well, no, hold on. The whole show today, the whole show, poor women, poor women, poor
women. Well, no. Steve, you're overthinking it now, right?
No, I'm not.
No, the reason we're talking about primarily about women is because we're talking about pepper spray. And generally speaking, it is women that will carry pepper spray in their handbags. So we're talking about the legalization of pepper spray. That's why we're focused very much on women.
No, okay, so hold on a second. Should guys be allowed to carry pepper spray?
Absolutely, if they want to.
So why has nobody brought that up?
It's a fair point, Al. But I did say it earlier on, by the way, in Dean Doherty.
Pepper spray is illegal, and it should stay illegal because of the abuse that will happen with it. But I mean, you can get other forms of if a man wants to carry a thing of DT with him, just stick it in his pocket, carry it with him. There's no problem.
What you're saying is people don't have the right to defend themselves against an aggressor. Of course they should.
But Steve, I think get the point Albert's making too, because he talked about that other gel earlier on. I mean, how far do you stretch that right? Should you be allowed to carry a knife? Should you be allowed to carry a gun? How far do you stretch that?
Yeah, Niall, absolutely. A gun is a great equaliser. It's the great equaliser. Because if some woman
Steve.
Hold on a second. If some poor woman is being dragged down the laneway to have God knows what happened to her, that man has forfeited his right to live. You know that.
I completely agree with you. But do we really want to live in a society where people are carrying little guns around their handbags?
I would absolutely prefer that than the current society that we live.
Okay, well, hang on. I just got to go to Eric. Stay there, both of you. Let me just go to Eric very quickly if I can. Eric, hi, how are you doing?
Noel, what's the start?
Eric, you heard Steve there. He'd be quite happy for women, or men for that matter, to carry guns.
I would agree with that fella, Steve, but it's just not going to happen in Ireland. You know, we weren't created like the United States were created. You know, we weren't created with that in mind. And a lot of people are averse to guns here, even though I would like them to be unadverse to it. What we need to do is common sense. So we're all debating here whether or not we should be, you know, allowed to have pepper spray. It's not even on the ballot. It's not something that we're discussing, but common sense solutions. As someone has mentioned, carry something in your bleeding bag or your handbag, whatever it is, if you feel you're going to be unsafe, and use it. Because at the end of the day, you have to defend yourself. And if you can't fight, if you're not able to physically protect yourself, then you need something that's going to equalize you or give you a better chance against someone who's an aggressor. So to any woman, to any man who carries a handbag, because some men do, put something in it that you feel will protect you if it's going to protect you.
Mm.
Otherwise, right now, the debate is just stupid because we're not even at the point where we're going to be introducing a referendum on pepper spray. And with the
we don't need a referendum on it. It's part of the firearms legislation. We could just remove it.
I know, it's Section H of the 1925 Act and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But if we want to repeal that, we want to get it into, you know, the debate with the Senate or whatever it may be, then write to your local politician. Write to your local politician, write to your local senator, whoever that may be that represents you. Get it on the ballot if you want. But at the moment, just focus on common sense solutions because it is dangerous out there. I don't live too far from where that girl was rumoured to have been raped the other day by a foreign national. Then there's another report of Talla Hospital there, an elderly woman yesterday assaulted in the hospital. It is dangerous. And believe what your eyes and ears are hearing. Yes, there is people out there who are giving out this information just for their own narratives. They're racist or whatever you want to call them. They don't like foreigners. Yeah, whatever. But it is dangerous and it is noticeable. You can walk anywhere in Dublin right now. And I think a fella Dave from Tipperary was talking about earlier. He said it himself. Dublin feels unsafe. I live in Dublin. You live in Dublin, Niall. It is unsafe and it is unsavoury. So I would say from my advice, and I think everyone here today, we all agree it's not safe and you need to defend yourself somehow, some way, whether it's self-defense classes or whether it's carrying something that is legal, that is a defensive weapon, whatever it may be, and keep your eyes and ears open. That's all I would say.
All right, listen, thanks for that. Steve, do you want to say a final word there before we wrap it up?
Yeah, what I would actually like to say is that we have recognised a woman's right to abortion in this country, which means the government has done that. We also need to recognise the rights of a citizen of this country to be able to defend themselves by any means necessary, whether that's pepper spray or a gun. They need to recognise that.
All right, well, I tell you what, maybe that's a topic for another day. Should we have the right to bear arms? Thank you very much indeed, Steve. I don't know how that would work out, to be honest with you. Look what happened in America. You know, you've got gun crime all over the place because people carry guns and have the right to bear arms. Can I just say, by the way, can we wish One of our regular subscribers and contributors to the show, Sarah Jane, a speedy recovery. She's in ICU after having a four-hour surgery or an operation yesterday. So we wish her well, and I really, really hope you have a speedy recovery, Sarah Jane. Lots of messages, by the way, coming in relation to today's topic. By the way, somebody mentioned, Niall, haven't had a chance to tune in for some time. What happened to Trumpinator? He's back. There you go. All right, he's back. Sorry, I forgot to put him up today. Here's the Trumpinator. By the way, if you want to buy a Trumpinator bobblehead, you can get them at our website, nileboylan.com. Go to our website. They're available. Those ones and the other one, always over there. The other one as well, and also the teddy bear. They're all there. Anyway, Thomas says on Facebook, it should never have to be an option. Address the core issue, not just the listenership. Maeve said, yes, we should have the option in order to defend ourselves. Marion says, how our country has changed in such a short period of time that this, unfortunately, is actually a question. I shudder to think what it will be like in 20 years' time. Jessica says, day or night, the streets aren't safe for anyone, but women were seen as vulnerable and meek, and some animals, not men, and not men, animals will take advantage of what we of that. Why we should be allowed to carry pepper spray because if some disgusting POS tried to rape a woman, a good long spray will stop him in his tracks. Absolutely, they will. Listen, thank you to everybody who got involved in the show today. It's been a really interesting conversation. Thank you to Ian O'Doherty from the Irish Independent, Sunday Independent, who was on earlier on. By the way, always read his articles. Great columns. He does a great job. We should talk to you again tomorrow. By the way, please do support us. We cannot have an operator show without you supporting us. We're halfway through the month. Halfway through the month. Which means we have to make enough money. And we do this. We sit down every couple of days and go, how much have we got in subscribers this month so far? Have we got any donations? Because we have to look forward to the end of the month when the bills come in and we know how much they're going to cost. Will we have enough money? Or will one of us have to take some money out of our own pocket to pay it? So please, we're halfway through the month. Let's try and make a difference today. Help us to pay those bills at the end of the month. You know, please subscribe or just donate a one-off donation on the website. A fiver or 5 million, by the way. If you're a wealthy businessman out there and you support us and you support the things that we talk about on a regular basis, please do donate or subscribe. Don't be talking about free speech and all that kind of stuff. I see people online, oh, I support free speech. You obviously don't, because a lot of people who listen to us have never paid a penny, have never given us a donation, have never subscribed, and yet they listen every single day. And I do understand that some people can't afford it, and I really appreciate that, by the way. I understand that. But if you can, and you support free speech, and that's what we're all about. We're not the Joe Duffy Show, the Neil Prendeville Show, the PJ Coogan Show, or any of those shows who obviously are limited by what they can do by the Broadcasting Authority and Commissioner Mann. We allow you to come on and have your say. It's an opinionated show. Yes, people have opinions. Wow, imagine that. People actually have opinions. You're allowed to say what you want. We talk about statistics. We talk about the real facts. We talk about, you know, people have a maybe misguided opinions sometimes and other people put them in their place. That's what it's all about, isn't it? But they're opinions. We're all entitled to have an opinion. Listening to the Irish government, you would be fooled into thinking that's not the case. And going forward, by the way, very soon, you won't be entitled to have an opinion. Except on this show. And we are future-proofing this show. That's why we're getting you to go to the website as well to watch it. We're future-proofing it to make sure that you will always have that base. So please support us to support you. Go to our website, nileboylan.com. Do it now, not tomorrow, not later on. Do it now and just give us a fiver. That's all we're asking for. Throw us a fiver, a donation of a fiver. More if you can. Or subscribe to us. The price of a cup of coffee once a month. That's all it is. You get to see all the other shows and all the exclusive interviews. So please do it. Like, for example, I'm doing an interview later on with Pádraig Tobin in relation to TUSLA and also in relation to the HSE using the word pregnant men. We'll be talking to Pádraig Tobin in about, I'm recording that in about an hour's time. That will be up on the website. And if you're a subscriber, you get to see it immediately. Everybody else has to wait. Thank you for joining us today. We should talk to you again tomorrow at 12. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. available for download from all your usual platforms.